Now, we've seen that the first 10 chapters of this book are all about the way in which God prepared his people. He was getting his people ready to do two things. One is to go to war, and of course the war was all about conquering the land, and the next step was to possess the land. So when he numbered them, he was thinking of them taking the duties of soldiers and of farmers. That's the life that lay in front of them. And in chapter 1 of Numbers, the first thing God did was to count the men, really, all the men over 20 years old. That's how he counted them, and we saw there were 603,550. But in this particular passage, we're told that God commanded his servant not to count the tribe of Levi, right? Do not count the tribe of Levi, or we call them the Levites. Don't count that tribe. Now, I want to ask tonight who the Levites were. So if you don't know who the Levites were, you will in 5 minutes. So who were the Levites? And the second question is, why did God command that they be not counted? And so when we've answered those two questions, who were these? Why not counted? Then we're going to learn some lessons from it. Okay, so that's what we're hoping to do tonight. So first of all then, the Levites. Who were the Levites? Well, they were one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, they were one of the 12 tribes of Israel. But God had anticipated, he knew that he was going to deal with the tribe of Levi separately. So earlier on, he took Joseph, the tribe of Joseph, and he divided them into two. So they had, instead of one Joseph, they had Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, what that did was it kept the number 12. Okay? It kept the structure of 12 tribes and set the Levites to one side. So the Levites were one of the tribes of Israel originally. And if you think about the history, if you know Genesis, you'll know that God chose Abraham, his friend, and Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had a son, Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. Okay, so we're going right back to Jacob, and he had 12 sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, and the rest. So Levi was the third son of Jacob. Okay, so we're looking back to the men we call the patriarchs, and Levi was his third son. So there you are. This is who they were. There were these 12 boys, and each of them married, and they had children, and they became 12 tribes. Okay, and God now says, do not count the tribe of Levi or the Levites. Now, I want to tell you something else about the Levites. This is who they are, but let me tell you something about them. In their history to this point, there were two, I'm going to call them acts of violence that they did. Okay? The tribe of Levi, if you look at its history, you can read it in Genesis and Exodus. There were two acts of violence that they did. The first one you can read about in Genesis 34. Okay? And they had a sister called Dinah. And Dinah, there was a young man who was not part of Israel. His name was Shechem. And he wanted Dinah. He wanted her as his wife, but he took her and he violated her. And Levi and Simeon went after them, and they avenged their sister Dinah by killing all the males. And Jacob, their father, was he was actually quite distressed And he comments on their violence. Anyway, that was the first thing. That was Levi himself. But then, while they were at the Mount Sinai, so just recently, Israel, there was a second act of violence that the Levites did. And Israel, some of you will know that while Moses was in the Mount Sinai receiving the word of God, the people on the ground made and worshipped a golden calf. So Moses was there receiving the commandments of God, which included don't make idols, don't worship any other god, and they were already breaking it on the ground. And when Moses came down and he saw what had been done, he said this. Let me read it to you. This is Exodus 32. Moses stood at the entrance of the camp, and he said this question: whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And do you know who came? All the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to Moses. They said, we're on the Lord's side. And he said to them, listen, these important words, thus says the Lord God of Israel. This is not Moses' command, but God's command. He says, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance, from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. The Lord ordered the death of the idolaters, and Levi was going to do it. So it says the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Now Moses said to them, now in our Bibles it says consecrate yourselves, okay? But in the Hebrew it says more like this: you have ordained yourself today to the Lord. And he says that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his brother. Now, that's Exodus 32, verses 26 to 29. That is quite a dramatic and shocking day. You see what the Levites did? When Moses asked the question, who is on the Lord's side, the implication was, or who is on the side of their families, their neighbours, their companions? Choose who you're for. And Levi chose the Lord. And they went in. And that, you see, that that response of Levi, although it was an act of great violence, remember, it was done as a judgment of the Lord. And you can imagine, can't you? You can imagine the tensions that were in their hearts, because they were for the Lord, but they weren't without feeling for their own kin. But nevertheless, they chose for the Lord and they obeyed him. And the Lord says, right, you have ordained yourself today to me. In other words, it's a way of speaking. You've, as it were, shown that you're my servants. So this is the tribe of Levi. This is the tribe of Levi. And they were, they remembered these two violent events, the violent deeds that they did in the past. So it's this tribe that we're talking about. Often they're called the priests of the Lord. We'll talk about that another day. So this tribe was not to be counted with the others. And I answer, secondly, I want to know why not. I mean, it's there in the text. Why not? Why not count them? Well, the basic answer is this, that the Lord had for that tribe a different task from the rest. Okay? The other tribes, the Lord had the task of going in the ranks of the army, and then later of farming the land. But the Levites, they were not to be in the ranks of the soldiers, they were not to be in the army, and they were not to have the land either. No, they had another task, And the task that they had was the care or the charge of what's called the Tabernacle of Testimony. Now, that's effectively, we'll look more at the tabernacle again, but that's the tent which was regarded, if you like, as the house of God. One day, the Tabernacle of Testimony would become the temple in Jerusalem. But it was the house of God, the tent and all its furnishings and everything, that was God's house among his people. Okay, and they were given the responsibility of caring for God's house. Effectively, they were being chosen to be the priests of the Lord, his ministers, his servants. So we have God organizing his people and saying to the whole nation, I have a job for you to do. You have to go into the army and conquer that land, take it, possess it, distribute it. But not the tribe of Levi. They have to minister to me. That's the position. Now, I want you to notice, before we finish answering the question why, I want you to notice two things. The first thing is that these men were chosen by the Lord. They were chosen by the Lord. Okay? Now, many years later, the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, and no man takes this honor upon himself, but he who is called of God, as Aaron was. The writer of the Hebrews is saying this. When you think about the priesthood, you must realize that men do not put themselves into the priesthood. It entirely depends on God appointing a man to be his servant. And this is a rule in Scripture. This is a rule in Scripture. You can't appoint yourself as a minister or an elder. You can't just step into the office. You can only do that if God has called you to do it. The Apostle Paul, in one of his letters, he speaks about the grace of God to him. And he says, part of the grace of God to me is that he put me into the ministry. Alright? Paul, the great Apostle Paul, recognized that he wasn't an apostle because he chose to be, but because God called him. Do you remember our Lord Jesus met him on the road? Appeared to him? Asked him that question, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Do you remember that? The road to Damascus. And Paul was floored. But there Christ said to him, I've got a task for you. And the Lord put Paul into the ministry. Now, this fact comes out in the text that we just read. It's in verse 51, I believe. Just check a minute. Yes, it is 51. If you have your Bibles, you can see this at the end of verse 51. These little words, the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. Now, the word outsider is literally the word stranger. And what that means is the stranger is anyone not belonging to the chosen tribe of Levi. So what the Lord is saying is this, if anyone else, from anywhere else, dares to take on this function, you must put him to death. I hope you realize that is a massive sentence for someone who dares to intrude into an office that God has not called him to. If someone not called intrudes into this office, the death penalty is appointed for him in those days in Israel. Now, this is very sobering and very serious. And you see, you can ask the question, why such a severe penalty for that? And the answer is this, because the ministry that God was instituting was a holy task, and it was holy because God is holy. This is taking us right back to the nature or the character of God. He is a holy God, and the very thought of the thought of drawing near to God is, in one sense, it's such a mighty and fearful undertaking. No wonder the psalmist, Psalm 24, Psalm 15, asks the question, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Psalm 15, who can dwell in the presence of the Lord? You know, this question, who is able to do this? So I want you to notice that only the ones chosen and appointed by God were allowed to do this. And secondly, I want you to notice the word wrath. It's in verse 53. These men have been given responsibility for the tabernacle. Why? So that no wrath should come upon the children of Israel. And you ask the question, how is it that the Levites would guard the children of Israel from the wrath of God? Well, there's two things. First of all, the Levites were given God's law to teach the people how to worship him. They were the ones who held the scrolls with the instructions of God. This is how to worship me. And it was their duty to guide the people into right worship of God. Some of you will remember what the prophet Malachi said. He says this, the law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me, God says about these men, he walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. Listen, for the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people, men, should seek the law from his mouth. Okay? For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. In other words, one of the ways in which these men saved the people from wrath was by bringing to them the word of God, the law of truth. But the other way was simply that they camped around the tent, the tabernacle, as a guard. They were in charge of it. They were protecting it. They were there to prevent an Israelite just wandering up to the house of God without any authority to do that. Now, I hope that you can see that what the text is saying to us, that it is a fearful thing to come into the presence of God. And the priesthood is a fearful matter. If you know the history of that followed this, you will know that men died over this matter. Two of Aaron's own sons, Nadab and Abihu, were struck dead by God because they did not follow his instructions in worshipping him. I wonder if you remember what happened to a man called Uzzah. Uzzah wasn't a priest, but on the day when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, Uzzah touched the Ark. Now, we're told that the oxen stumbled and he put out his hand to hold the Ark steady, but he had trespassed on holy things. He had not been authorized by God to touch that Ark, and he died. And you can find other examples. How many people remember what happened to the Philistines? When the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they couldn't keep it. Wherever that Ark went, there were five cities of the Philistines. Wherever that Ark went, there came death. And the first city said, take it away from us. They took it to the next. We don't want it. They had to send it back because to tamper, to touch the Ark of God, even for the Philistines, was death. How many people remember King Uzziah? King Uzziah dared to trespass on the office of the priests. Well, he's a king. It says in 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, his heart was lifted up. And he went into the temple then to burn incense. And the priests, the righteous priests, went in after him. And they said, it is not for you, King Uzziah, King Uzziah, king or no king, it is not for you to burn incense to the Lord. And he got angry with the priests. And the Lord struck him with leprosy. He was a leper, in his face a leper, till the day of his death. Now, these are, as it were, the reality of what's been dealt with here. So this is why then, okay, the Levites were not numbered. And the reason was they were appointed to the most onerous and serious task of the ministry of God's house in those days. Now let me close. What can we learn from this? Well, the first lesson that we learn from this text is that our God is holy. Do you remember when Isaiah saw him? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, said the seraphim, said the angels. And you see, because our God is so great, so majestic, so far above us, so holy, it is a fearful thing to worship him. Now, I do not deny that for the child of God, it is also a delight to worship God. But the element of delight and joy in praising him should not take away this respect for his holiness. Our God is holy. The psalmist, I read it just now, worship the Lord in holy fear. Worship the Lord in holy fear. And then secondly, the only truly worthy priest is Christ. Okay? All of this about the Levites is only preparation for the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang just now, he is our great high priest. You see, when God appointed the Levites and Aaron, he was appointing men to serve as kind of pictures of what Christ would be, only better. All right? And you can say this, that when the Lord said to them, only the Levites, no stranger, okay, he was leading to this, only Christ, no one else. Okay, let me say this clearly, there is no other high priest on the planet, only Christ. Okay, there are no other priests, only Christ. Only Christ can bring us into the presence of God. Only Jesus Christ can bring us into the veil. Only he can intercede for us. There is no other mediator. Okay? And this exclusive emphasis on Levi is a kind of lesson that one day will teach us only Christ. Okay? If anyone else claims to be a mediator between God and man, they are intruding onto what belongs to Christ alone. There is no other mediator. Paul says this, there is one mediator between God and man, and men, the man Christ Jesus. Right? Any other claim is false. No one else could become a Levite. No one else can take the priesthood of Christ. Okay? So that's the second lesson. It's pointing to Christ. There are two more lessons. Thirdly, after Jesus Christ came, there were no more priests. All sacrifice was over, and yet, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says that the preachers of the Word of God, the ministers of the Word of God, have in one sense succeeded the Levites. Okay, you can find it in 1 Corinthians 9. He says to the church in Corinth, he says, just as the Levites of old were sustained by the sacrifices, so those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. There's a kind of line of continuity. We don't have priests, but we do have ministers of God. We do. And when you think about this a little bit further, it reminds us of what an onerous thing it is to be a preacher of the word. Okay? It is not fun. It is a deadly serious matter. When the Apostle Paul finished his ministry, he said in Ephesus, he said this, he said, I am free from the blood of all men. Do you know what he meant? He meant that because he had the responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God, if he failed, he would be guilty of their loss. He was accepting guilt for the souls of those who heard him. That's what Paul was doing. Just the same as Ezekiel. The Lord said to Ezekiel before, he said, Ezekiel, I've made you a watchman. Go and warn them. He says, if you warn them, you will be guiltless. You won't have their blood on your hands. But if you fail to warn them, their blood is on you. There's guilt associated with the priesthood. There's guilt associated with the ministry. Ministers of the word who do not preach to you the truth and the whole counsel of God are guilty. Okay? Ministers across this country who have twisted the word of God so that the people who listen to them go to hell, they are guilty of those losses. Okay? This is a serious matter. And you see this in this passage. To save Israel from wrath. These are serious things. And then finally, let me say this. When we think of the Levites, the priests of God, and I just said to you, there's only one priest now, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have priests in the New Covenant Church, right? I've said that. And yet, hold on. The Lord has said that all his people are priests. Okay? It says in Revelation, we've seen it, he makes us kings and priests to God. There is, in one sense, there is a priesthood that we all have. Okay? It's called by some the priesthood of all believers. Okay? There are certain, if you like, priestly services which are part of the whole church's task. And this is something that we need to think about on another occasion. I ask you this question as I finish. Do you know and are you conscious that in one sense God has called you to be his priests? Is this how you understand yourself? That you are called to bring before him sacrifices of praise. You are called to do that. You are called, in one sense, to have his law upon your lips. There's a part of this that belongs to the entire church. And I know that we need to spend more time on that and to develop it. So there we are. Think of these lessons. When we think of the Levites being set aside, remember, God is holy. God is holy. It is an immense, immense, immense thing to come into the presence of God to worship him. And then let us remember that if only the Levites could serve, then certainly today only Christ. All of this Levitical priesthood is a type of the perfect priesthood, high priesthood of Jesus Christ. He is our priest. And then you have other lessons for the ministers of the word and the people of the word. Let the ministers of the word learn from this, that their solemn duty is to tell the people the truth as revealed in Scripture, please or offend, for the good of their souls. What will happen to men if the ministry of the word stops? What will happen to a country when, if what Amos said happens, that there would be a famine of the word of God? What happens to a man who neglects the word of God? He's neglecting the good of his own soul, his own life. There has to be the preaching of the word. Paul said, we saw this on Wednesday. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they believe if they don't hear? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? And then finally, let us think about our job. God has appointed all his people to come into his presence finally and forever, before the throne, to cast our crowns before him. As the hymn writer put it, lost in wonder, love and praise. Amen.